Good morning. Coming up here on 740 on the Mighty 690, we're joined now by Representative Dr. Ron Bryce from Coffeyville. How are you doing, sir? Good to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, good to have you. So I know you guys are kind of on your recess, right?
Right.
You're kind of a little break, you know, you get to get on the playground and everything and the back there behind the Capitol.
When I was in grade school at Garfield here in Coffeyville, recess meant something different. But this week we've had several town hall meetings. Monday night at the Yoke in Coffeyville had a town hall. Wednesday, Independence. Yesterday in Parsons and Cherryville. And then tomorrow I'll be speaking. I have a speech to give at the Kansas Republican Women's Convention. I believe they're meeting in Independence tomorrow afternoon. So I'm looking forward to that.
Excellent. Well, that's very good. And I know that we've had the, you know, the Virgil Peck with the listening tour and everything going around. And you've been able to join him and with all that.
So that's exactly right.
That is really great. So being able to have all of that is wonderful. Now, when you do get back, there's several vetoes that we're planning to get overwritten, right?
Right. One of the things with the legislature is so many times the legislation comes up, we amend it, goes back to committee, goes to the Senate, and we get several bites at the apple. Well, the Senate and House has passed several bills. I think there were a total of 795 bills submitted, about something like 100 have been passed by the Senate and the House. Governor Kelly then has the chance to either sign or veto or just allow to pass without her signature. And there are six or eight bills that we'll be dealing with in the next few days, beginning on Monday, to override the governor's veto. To do that, it's not just a majority in the House and the Senate. It requires two-thirds. So in the House, we need 84 votes, and in the Senate, they need 27. Several of them I feel very passionate about. One of them was the Born Alive Infant Protection Act that I was honored as a freshman legislator to carry, and it passed overwhelmingly in the House and Senate. But that provides that newborn babies, even if they're premature, even if they are the product of an abortion or not, are given medical care, comfort care, whatever is appropriate for the age of gestation. And to not do that, in my opinion, is amounts to infanticide. So I cannot go along with the governor's veto on that. I will be an override vote for sure.
Well, and I haven't. I was remember reading a story that was put out, I think, by the AP, and they said that it was some that had never happened or something.
Oh, well,
what the heck?
You're going to get me a little energized on that, because I have personally taken care of indirectly or directly with 27 of these babies born alive after abortion over a three-year period in one town. So I know these things happen. Another representative, Representative Epley, is a physician. Testified or spoke in the House that he has seen many, many babies born alive after abortion set aside on a metal, you know, on a shelf to die. One of the senators is also an NICU nurse. She's on the Senate Health Committee. She has taken care of babies born alive after abortion in the NICU. So I'll try to be cordial, but for the governor to say this does not happen is an insult. And either she's being lied to or she's not being honest herself, and I'll just leave it at that.
Alrighty. Now, we've also had these many different, trying to protect women's and women's spaces, these different bills that have the governor has vetoed. And there's a number of them that I saw the AP had another article here today about several of the different bills. And I think a lot of those have some veto-proof majorities, I believe.
Right. One highlight so far is the governor did veto our bill that would ban men from participating in girls' sports and being in their locker rooms and in their showers and accommodations. We did override that veto already. That's one that we've already attempted to override, and we indeed did override that. So that is Kansas law at this time. There are several related bills. One is, believe it or not, it's hard for me to believe this, but at least one school district, they were having overnight trips in schools, school trips, where biological boys and biological girls were sleeping in the same bed, and that was a school-sponsored activity. And so we passed a bill that would require school districts to write policies prohibiting this. We didn't heavy-handedly come down on it, but we required the school districts to take steps for their particular school district to write policy on this. Governor Kelly, for some reason, vetoed that, and I anticipate we will attempt to override her veto in the next few days. Another related bill, and I was involved with this on the Health and Human Services Committee in the House, but it defines male and female. The reason this is important for the legislature to do, we're not trying to get into anybody's business, but Kansas law has many, many references to men, to women, but it never defines what a man or a woman is. So this is different from gender. This is male, female, biological sex. And so we define basically biologically what a man is, biologically what a woman is. And then for the very small number of people, a fraction of 1% who are what they call intersex, maybe hermaphrodite, semi-hermaphrodite, there's some biological difference. We made accommodations for them and tried to honor them and to not insult them. But we passed what I thought was a very good bill. The governor vetoed that. And again, I'm a freshman legislator. I'm unsure why the governor would veto something common sense like that. But we will try to override that veto also.
All righty. Now, I know that there are, you know, plenty more things as, you know, we get into the next session here. And I know you've been working on maybe some of the wording on your bill to get some of the In God We Trust in some of the schools and everything. Has there been any update on that?
Well, I've learned that it's a marathon, not a sprint on some of these things. I did introduce a bill that, and my reason for this was there is so much disunity in our country, in our state, in our towns. A lot of it goes back to just political differences, but we need unifying principles. If we emphasize diversity, that's great, but diversity in and of itself isn't a virtue if it doesn't have some unifying theme or unifying principle to be combined with the diversity. And so my thought was to use the basic national motto, In God We Trust, have that on a plaque in public schools, public buildings. I did arrange to where it will not even cost school districts or public the state one penny. We have sponsors who will donate very nice plaques. But this is a way for kids, I think, especially in schools, in public schools, to see that, yes, we have diversity. We want to promote our diversity. But diversity without unity is chaos. And so we need some unifying theme. And In God We Trust has been the motto of the United States of America. It's been on our coins for over 150 years. It's been on. It's been the official congressional national motto for over 50 years during the Eisenhower administration. So I thought that was a kind of a mooring or anchoring point that we might be able to promote so that kids coming up realize that we do have values as Americans. We have traditional values as Americans. It does not define what God is. It just says, In God we trust. If you're an atheist, then you could say atheism is your God. In atheism you trust. But there has to be some higher power, higher than ourselves, that we look up to and that we work for and we strive for. Otherwise, our lives seem to be more meaningless. And I especially want to inspire young people to live for something higher than themselves. And so that's the national motto bill. I tried to get some traction on it this year, was not able to get a hearing. I'm going to try and work behind the scenes during the off-season, and then hopefully next year we'll get a hearing and get a vote on that.
Now, we have coming up on your one-year anniversary of Ron Bryce in politics. So any kind of reflections is, you know, I'm sure, like with anything, a new venture like this, you've learned quite a bit.
It's been total. I hate to even say this because people roll their eyes, but it's been a total joy. I went into politics 1 year ago this week. I got the call that Representative Kelly was retiring and that there was some redistricting and I would be in his district. And so it's an open seat. And I prayed about it, asked my wife about it, and it seemed to be the right thing to do. So I jumped in 1 year ago. I thought at the time it would be a little bit of I don't know if drudgery or it was just a civil service. I was thinking, well, you know, I'm retiring as a physician. I need to get involved. I need to do what I can to help my hometown and my home area here in Montgomery County. But to my surprise, I really, really enjoy it. I started off last summer going door to door. I mean, 100 degree heat. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a beat down, but I enjoyed so much talking with people on their front porches. I enjoyed the process. I am thrilled to work at the state capitol with all of the notable people. The policies and issues that we talk about are just fascinating to me. And so I just greatly appreciate the people in Montgomery County in the 11th district giving me the opportunity. And it's been 1 year ago today that I put my hat in the ring, and I'm just very thankful.
Well, very good. Anything else you'd like to hit while we have some time here today?
Well, just a couple of other vetoes that we're going to look at, and I think they are important issues. One is Second Amendment issue. Firearm safety, especially with children, has been such an important issue with these senseless, mindless school shootings and the problems that we've had with that. So the House and Senate both passed a firearm safety bill that requires, that's for kindergarten through sixth graders to learn at the school districts as they want to. It's up to the school district, but the program would be the Eddie Eagle program from NRA. It's basically if you see a gun, don't touch it, run away, tell an adult. And that's basically kind of like stop, drop, and roll if you catch on fire. It's just one of these simple things to teach kids to not touch a gun, assume it's loaded. And so that's something the governor vetoed also, and it's, again, astonishing to me that she would, but we will work toward that. Another issue for children is child care, because so many people told me child care is a big, big need, especially here in Montgomery County. We passed a bill, House and Senate, to loosen some of the regulations and overburdens with child care centers so that we can have more access to child care. It passed in the Senate 21-17 and in the House 77-46, but the governor did veto that. And so we're hoping that we will be able to override that veto and just change the status quo of overregulation and get some workable solutions for child care. And again, it's been just such an honor to work through these issues, and I've learned so much about these issues. And if anyone happens to want to come up to Topeka, see the Capitol, if we're in session there and I'm there, I'd be happy to meet with you. I'd be happy to show you around the building. It's a grand old building and it's been completely remodeled. They have some museum pieces there. They have John Brown's sword displayed. You know, you can see some really cool stuff. But I'd be happy to see you if you're ever up in the Capitol.
Well, have you gone up to the top now to look around?
You know, it was about 1 year ago. I hate to say it, but I really hadn't spent any time in Topeka until 1 year ago. And I went up there and I visited the Capitol. They were about this point in the session, and Senator Peck said, "Hey, Ron, let me show you something." And he took me and my son and daughter-in-law up the steps. Have you been up there?
Yes. It's pretty terrifying. Like, if you have any fear, I don't have too big a fear of heights, but man, you get up there and you got to go cross, and then there's that little corkscrew spiral staircase up in the middle.
You know, I don't think of myself as fearful of heights, but you go up there and you see, you know, it's an old dome, and so you see people who have with a pocket knife scratched on the wall, you know, John Smith was here 1867, you know.
Yeah, you see, they used to just encourage people, "Hey, yeah, sure, go ahead, carve your name up in the people's building," I guess. This is an odd idea, but
well, if anybody wants to come up and walk to the dome, well, I'll try to generate the energy and encourage to go with you.
That's great. And I think that the reason that they haven't repainted parts of it is because they think that some of the Eisenhowers might have their names scratched up there.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, that's what they said when we went on a tour there. They think that Dwight might have his name up there. But yeah, some of those people must have been standing on shoulders and like, oh, it's terrifying.
Yeah, I can't imagine leaning over the rail and it's, you know, several dozen feet down and carving your name. But, you know, people do strange things.
They do. Well, if anyone has any, you know, questions for you, they want to get a hold of you, Ron Bryce, how can they do that?
I can be reached at a couple of email addresses. I'll give you a couple. One is ron@ronbryce.com. It's ronbryce.com. Another is actually on Facebook. I try to post about once or twice a week. I'll post a video update, a minute or two long, just to show you around the Capitol and what bills we're working on and some of the subject matter. I hope it's educational and entertaining for people. That's at Ron Bryce for Kansas on Facebook.
Okay. Well, Dr. Ron Bryce, appreciate you taking the time here to chat with us. Anything else you'd like to share with the listeners as we wrap up?
Just again, thank you so much. I would really enjoy and love to hear more from people. We're going to several stops on the Senator Peck listening tour this week and the Kansas Women's Convention Saturday. But I would love to hear from you, and always feel free to call or email, Facebook message me. It's not an imposition at all, because that's why I'm here. I'm here to serve, and I appreciate it very much.
All right. Well, Representative Ron Bryce here on the Mighty 690, thanks so much for stopping by. Hope you have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Good. Thank you.
All righty. That is, like we said, Representative Ron Bryce here, and we will be back in just a few moments on KGGF.